Please take your Bibles, turn to the letter to the Romans, chapter 11, and I'll be reading verses 1 to 10. And I reverence to God, would you stand as his word is read? Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. I ask you, then, has God rejected his people? Absolutely not. For I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, from the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Or don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to take my life. But what was God's answer to him? I have left 7,000 for myself who have not bowed down to Baal. In the same way, then, there is also at the present time a remnant chosen by grace. Now, if by grace, then it is not by works. Otherwise, grace ceases to be grace. What then? Israel did not find what it was looking for, but the elect did find it. The rest were hardened. As is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that cannot see and ears that cannot hear to this day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a pitfall and a retribution to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see and their backs be bent continually. You may be seated. Sunday, we were looking at rejecting the message that was presented to Israel. And Paul asked a series of questions. And remember in verse 13, it said, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he went through a series of questions. How can they call on him whom they have not believed? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without someone telling them? And how can they tell unless they're sent? That reminds us that we have been given a message to go and tell people about the good news. We have been sent. We have been sent so that people can hear the message. And then it says in verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And this is a quote from the time in Isaiah and also repeated in Nahum about the end of Babylonian captivity. The nations of Judah had been taken into captivity in Babylon, and they were there taken into that foreign land, and God gave them a message. You're going back. You're going back home. Your time of captivity is over. Well, we also need to remember that Jesus came to tell us our captivity to sin is over. He has freed us from the bondage to sin. But have all obeyed the message? Not everyone has believed the message. Verse 16, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. Now, we're not saved by a message from about anyone else. Jesus is the only way. I remember back in the days I was in high school, there was it was very popular, a little symbol of the finger going up, and one way to heaven. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. They need to hear the message of Jesus Christ, not a message that we can save ourselves. But then Paul goes, did they not hear the message? And then Paul quotes from Deuteronomy about how they have heard the message. Deuteronomy 32:21. and also from Isaiah chapter 65, verse 1, which says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that lacks understanding. So Paul is telling the believers in Rome, this is not a new message that the good news is going to go to the entire world, that everyone has an opportunity to be saved, not just the Jewish people. Moses talked about it, Isaiah talked about it, and they even explained why. It's to make you jealous so that you will turn back to God. But then what is Israel's attitude? Verse 21, all day long I have held out my hand to a disobedient and defiant people. And if we look in the world today, we see a lot of people that are disobedient to God and defiant to God. They don't want any reference to God seen in any public arena, that they even or public place. They even say, well, you just keep your religion to yourself. But then they change it and say, but we want you to endorse our sinful lifestyle. And if you don't agree with our sinful lifestyle, then you are someone that needs to be censored. And even, as we saw not too long ago, executed because you hold a different view. You believe what the Bible says. And we can't let that position hold. And there are people, when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, that said he deserved it because he was offending people by telling them what they're doing is wrong. One of his things he did was he presented on college campuses, I think, prove me wrong. And he would debate and with anyone, you tell me why I'm wrong, and I'll tell you my position. He didn't threaten violence, but others say people that hurt my feelings didn't deserve to be hurt physically. And we look at our society like this, and we wonder, is there any hope? People, the majority, reject what God says. Even people that attend church reject what God's word says if they don't like where it conflicts with their choices. But Paul addresses that issue. Is there any hope? In verse 1 of chapter 11, I ask then, has God rejected his people? Absolutely not. Has God rejected Israel? No. They are his chosen people. But we forget what they were chosen to do. They were chosen to go and tell the whole world about God. They were a kingdom of priests to go and tell the world about God. God had never intended that Israel be the only ones that are saved. They were the ones that were chosen to go proclaim the message. Now, many sports teams choose players for their team to help them achieve their goal. If it's a baseball team, they want to win the World Series. If it's a football team, American football, they want to win the Super Bowl. If it's other type of football, the World Cup. Well, what if you choose somebody for your team and they never get off the bench? What's the coach going to do? He's going to find other people to play the position and do what their team needs. Has God rejected those he chose first to become the ones to proclaim the message about himself? No. Paul says, let me give you some examples. Paul said, look at me. I'm a Jew. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a descendant of Abraham. God has not rejected me. And then he talked about the example of Elijah. Now, Elijah, we see in 1 Kings 18, and interesting situation. Elijah confronts the prophets of Baal, the false prophets. And he's won against 450 false prophets of Baal. And he says, Israel, choose who you'll serve. I'm going to show you who the true God is. We're going to take two animals. We're going to sacrifice them. We're going to set them on an altar. And the one who is God will light the fire. So you prophets of Baal, you go first. So the 450 prophets of Baal took their animal sacrifice, put it on the altar, and then starting at the beginning of the day, they started shouting for Baal, listen to us, light this fire. About noon, Elijah says, maybe he's sleeping in. Keep shouting. Maybe he's on a trip. And then, as the day went on, he said, are you sure he's not answering? And they began cutting themselves. So they bled, which was part of their way to get their false god's attention. When it came time for the evening sacrifice, Elijah said, took 12 stones, put them together, sacrificed the animal, put it on the altar. He dug a trench around the altar and said, fill it, cover it with water. Pour water over all the wood, over the animal. Do it again. Do it again. Three times they poured water such that the trench was full of water. And then he prayed to God. And fire came down from heaven, burnt the animal, the wood, the stones, and all the water. And then Elijah had the 450 false prophets of Baal executed. A great victory, showing who the true God is. But a couple of verses later, and Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, heard what happened, and she sent a message to Elijah. I'm going to kill you. And so what does Elijah do? He said, I just stood up to all the prophets of Baal. I just showed who the true God is. No. He grabbed the end of his cloak and ran. And then he hid in a cave. God said, what are you doing? He said, the people of Israel won't listen to me. They won't follow you. I'm the only one left that's following you. Have you ever felt that way? I'm the only one at high school that follows you, Jesus. I'm the only one in third grade that follows you. I'm the only one in the car rider line that follows you. I'm the only one where I work that follows you. Have you ever thought that? Well, it's not true. The same answer that God gave to Elijah, saying, you're not the only one. And the message to Elijah, I have 7,000 other people that are following me. So when Paul says, has God abandoned Israel? He said, no, look at me. God took me. One that was persecuting the church. And by his grace, I became his apostle. At the time of Elijah, he had 7,000 others that had not bowed a knee to Baal, that were worshiping the true God. And he said, and even today, think about this. Paul was a Jew who proclaimed the message. All the apostles were Jewish men who proclaimed the good news. And in Acts chapter 2, at Pentecost, we see people, Jewish heritage from all over the world that had gathered in Jerusalem, and they heard the message. And it says about 3,000 became believers that day. And then the church grew. God was adding each day to those that were believing. These are Jewish believers. Now, I don't know if you know it, but even today, there are Jewish synagogues that worship Jesus as the Messiah. There's two right here in Conroe. Congregation Yeshua ben Yahweh. Now, if you want to understand, Yeshua, Jesus, ben, son of Yahweh, God. So there's a congregation, Jesus, the Son of God. It's a Jewish congregation. They call themselves Messianic or Completed Jews. Also, there's the New Birth Messianic Assembly. Two groups within our own city that believe Jesus is the Messiah. He has not given up, but the majority of Jews, there's a hardening of their hearts, a sleepiness, because they have rejected Jesus. That's what it says in verse 8. As is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor. And if you look in the passage, it says, they have become sleepy. Now, I don't know. Emily, Carson, I don't know if you ever have any other students in your class that occur. Falling asleep when the teacher's teaching, y'all ever have that? It's not, I know it's not you. And I know it's none of us when we're at work. None of us get sleepy. But that's what it's talking about. There are a lot of Jewish people that are sleepy when it comes to understanding the truth about Jesus. But then it also says, let their table become a snare and a trap. The table is talking about all God's provision. But they became trapped by thinking God has chosen us to be special. Again, going back to that illustration of the sports team. What if somebody said, I am chosen to be part of the Houston Texans or the Astros, but they never show up for a game? But I'm chosen. They were so confused by the fact that they were chosen, they forgot to do what they were chosen to do. And so they're darkened. Their hearts are hardened in part. Now, does that mean God says you can't be saved? No. It just means God has limited the opportunities for them to be saved. God desires that no one perish, but all come to repentance. Now, Lana used to make cakes and cookies and everything. If she said, you know, I've got this wonderful cake made and everybody can have some. Well, she did say that. But she's retired from making cakes now. So if you didn't get a cake when she was making cakes, you missed the opportunity. They were available for a while, but now they're no longer available. That's what it's talking about. They're hardening in heart and time. They said no at the opportune time. The Jewish people said no for the majority at the opportune time. No, no, no. And God stops offering. Is that unfair? No. God can choose how many times he offers salvation and draws people to himself. If God does not draw us, we're not going to be saved. But there's a limited number of offers. And we don't know how many chances each person gets. So we can't say, oh, he's a Jew. God's rejected him. No. Tell the message to everybody you see. That person in your classroom that misbehaves the most, that treats you terribly, God wants him to be saved too. Do you pray for those that mistreat you? Because there's hope. God can change everybody. And Sunday, we're going to continue this message and see that God has even more hope for Israel. He hasn't given up on Israel. We should not give up on anybody. Even when things look bad, there's hope. During World War II, the Nazi final solution of the Jewish people was to exterminate them. They didn't kill all the Jewish people. There were over 6 million that were killed. But there's still the Jewish people that are there. They're in Israel now and throughout the world. And there are many Jewish people here in Montgomery County. God has not given up. There's hope always. Now, when things look bad for us, we need to remember that what we're going through right now is only temporary. Those students in school, you got 9 more weeks and then school's out. This school year is almost over. Those that are working, you got a day off coming soon. And all of us have heaven waiting, and our life here is just a drop in the bucket for all eternity. If you took a big 55-gallon drum and you put one drop in a day and you got it full, it's going to take a long time. But that's nothing compared to all eternity. And our hope is not based on not having problems now. It's based on God keeping his promise and God's grace. Let us rest in God's grace and hope in what he can do, not what we can do. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for your grace. You have not abandoned your people Israel. You still have a plan for them. And you have not abandoned us who have chosen to follow you because you drew us to yourself. And our hope is based on your commitment, not ours. Because we cannot earn our salvation on our effort. But our salvation is based on your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.